Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
The 38th Shir of Rambam is a repetition of what we learned yesterday. Mitzvah Kuf Nun Dalet, the 154th positive mitzvah of the Torah, which, as we discussed, was Hatzivui, the commandment, Shenitztavino, that we were given Lishbot B'Shabbat, that we should cease all work on the holy day of Shabbos. As it says, Ubayom Hashvi'i Tishbot. Now, this mitzvah is repeated a number of times, Rambam says, and the Shvisa of Himalacha, the cessation of work, is obligatory upon us, the Jewish people. It's obligatory upon our animals, meaning they cannot do work for us, and we are not allowed to have our indentured laborers, who are only part Jewish, halachically, do work either, as we learned. So we talked yesterday about different kinds of work, what is considered work, what's not considered work. Today I want to focus on a detail which is extremely relevant in the study of Hilchos Shabbat, primarily because those who deny the oral Torah, who claim to obsess or focus only on the scripture, of course, did not accept what we are going to learn right now. Now, these people have long since disappeared, and invariably anybody who goes against Halachic Judaism will disappear. It's just a matter of time. Either become metamorphosed into another faith or different kind of system, or they'll come home to Yiddishkeit. So the oral tradition tells us that a person may catalyze work Erev Shabbat, even if that work will continue subsequent to the arrival of the holy day of Shabbos. And the work is continuing. For example, the Rambam tells us, if I do work, which I don't do any work on Shabbos itself, so Shabbos arrives, there's a total cessation, but that which I put into motion continues. Like, for example, a person is going to open some kind of irrigation waterway so that the plants or the trees are going to be irrigated and they're going to be continuously watered. And I'm not there watering them. I finished. I did my thing. Or in the days of the Mishnah, there was a custom that they would fumigate cloth, or their clothing, or brocades, or tapestries, or rugs, by putting incense. It would burn sweet incense. And the incense would burn, and the smoke would come up, and it would imbue this article of clothing or this curtain or drapery with a fresh smell. Today we buy them in little plastic or metal cans, right? And we have different ways of making things smell aromatic. So the question is, I lit a fire, my fire is burning, and my clothes are being fumigated throughout the course of the holy day of Shabbos, so I'm working. Well, I'm not working. Why not? Because my fire is working. I didn't actually do anything. And the same is true with regard to healing, the Rambam tells us, according to Mishnah, or it's even permissible for a person to have traps that are set for different animals. And the animals are actually going to be caught. Your nets are going to catch the fish on a Shabbos morning, but I didn't put the trap up. And therefore, I am not violating the work on Shabbos at all. Once we're talking about this, now we enter into a very, very interesting area, which is the rabbinic barriers, or rabbinic guardrails, to make sure that we actually keep the Shabbat properly. So in theory, if I leave a pot on a fire, and it was cooked, or cooking, or not cooked, it's irrelevant. If I don't put the pot on the fire on Shabbos, I can take the pot off whenever I want, and I can eat it. However, a rabbi said, if the pot will be on the fire, what do most people do? A real cook. Everybody comes, everybody stirs the pot a little. Everybody adjusts the flame a little. That's an act of cooking. So therefore, there are all kinds of rules of what may be left on the fire, what may not be left on the fire, only if it's already cooked, it's already edible, and then the fire has to be covered. All of these rules are not part of keeping Shabbos itself biblically. This is part of the rabbinic safeguard for Shabbos. That the rabbis decreed, if we would not create these guardrails, invariably somebody would violate Shabbos. And one who takes Shmirat Shabbat seriously understands that guardrails are a very good idea. Best of my knowledge, all good highways in this country have guardrails. Not because we expect people to drive off the side of the road, but precisely because there's always a danger. And if we don't have a guardrail, people are going to get hurt. So the Rambam spends a great deal of time with that in Mishnah Torah, going through those details. And that is all part of the cessation of work. The emphasis here is, I must not do work, but if work is going to be happening, since it was put into place prior to Shabbat, then it's not an issue. Which brings us into the very modern, interesting question of Shabbos clocks. So what's not so well known is that the great halachist of the 20th century, Reb Moshe Feinstein, he believed that Shabbat clocks should not be permitted. It's not because he said that the clock is doing work for you. There is such an opinion, that's Beshamai, Shvitat Kelim. He says not only you, not only your animals, but even your utensils, your artifacts, your vessels, your machinery has to rest. That's not the halacha. The halacha is you as an individual have to cease doing work. If your mechanized artifacts are doing work, that's not a problem. The problem was something else. There's a rule that we're not permitted to tell a non-Jew, a Gentile, to do something for us on Shabbos. Now, everybody knows there's a proverbial, quote-unquote, Shabbos goy. People heard about it from their grandparents. It's not so simple. One may use the assistance of a Gentile under a specific set of circumstances. It has to be Litzerich mitzvah, for need of a mitzvah. It has to be something which is not an outright violation of a biblical commandment. It's not simple at all. It's not like you can have somebody do it for you. Why? So we have two reasons. One reason is because we say shlichut la'akum l'chumra, that on Shabbat we take the stringent approach that even though it's not a fellow Jew, but it's a fellow human being, and therefore they would consider it to be an extension of our own arms. It would be like an emissary, like an agent. And another idea is v'daber davar. V'daber davar means that you're not allowed to speak in a non-Shabbat way. You're not allowed to give instructions on the Shabbat for things which are prohibited on Shabbat. In fact, Shabbat, we have to be careful the way we speak altogether. So because of this, if I'm going to tell somebody to do it on Shabbat, that's a violation of the idea of a daber daver. But it goes further. Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch talks about another notion. So what if I tell the Gentile to do it to me before Shabbat? I told him on Thursday. I told him on Wednesday. So if he's doing it specifically for me, and it's visible and noticeable, I'm not allowed to have that done either. I can't have a Jewish construction site operating on Shabbat. Well, all the workers aren't Jewish. And they're doing it for themselves because they want to take Sunday off. No, it doesn't work like that. Everybody sees it. It's public, and therefore it's a public desecration of the Shabbat. Here's what happens now. Even if I tell somebody before the Shabbat, my Shabbat becomes a weekday thing because I gave all the instructions, so everything should happen. My business is running, my factories are running, everything is going on as if it's a regular day. I'm not there to watch or to supervise. But everything's happening as if it's not Shabbat, as if it's not the holiest day of the week. So that's not permitted. So the Moshe Feinstein, in a very prescient way, said, there will come a time, he said this like in the 50s, when there will be entire factories where no human will ever walk inside. He said there'll be robots, there'll be mechanized machinery, somebody will press a button, and it will go for days. Who knows, he says, how long it will go for until it even has any human intervention. So he says, will you tell me then that such a business can operate on Shabbos? That was his comeback. He said, but since most people have already accepted Shabbos clocks, he says, then I don't feel comfortable getting in everybody's way. He said, so we're going to leave it as such, and that became the rabbinical consensus, that is the halacha, and once that rules the halacha, it is permissible in our day and age. The one thing which we are not permitted to do on Shabbos is have a crock pot or have some kind of other cooking utensil set on a timer so that it should go on during the day of Shabbos. If you left it on the fire from before the Shabbat and you took it off, that's fine. But to have something cold, even though you didn't touch it and do anything, that it should go on Shabbos, here Reb Moshe put his foot down. Here he said this is too much, and that's something that would ultimately bring a violation of the holy day of Shabbos. Now, according to the Rambam, the mitzvahs of Shabbos specifically are limited to work. We'll soon see some details in justice, carrying out justice. And the mitzvah of also invoking the holiness of the Shabbat through the recitation of Kiddush, which we will speak about in Meretz Hashem. According to many others, the mitzvah of Oneg, the mitzvah of Kavod, the mitzvah of honoring the Shabbat, the mitzvah of eating on Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos, is also ultimately rooted in a biblical precept. That's what the Alter Rebbe holds, although he points out in the Kuntos Achen that the Rambam clearly does not hold of this opinion. Nevertheless, I want to include in the study of today's mitzvah the details about Hadlakat Ner Shabbat, the lighting of the Shabbos candles, creating a Shabbos ambiance. So it's not like it's a regular day like any other day, but I'm not answering my emails. But I'm not cooking. But I'm not cutting the grass. We have to create a Shabbos atmosphere. And therefore the Rambam says, to make sure that on the Friday night there is light burning in your home, Eino Rishus, he says in the fifth chapter of Hilchos Shabbos. It's not an elective. It's not an optional. It's not a mitzvah, Sheni Chayev Lirdufachare. It's not a mitzvah that you don't have to pursue. A person could say, for example, I don't want to eat bread. Oh, you don't want to eat bread? You don't have to wash your hands. I'll have Mazona's bread. I'll eat crackers instead. That's fine. Nobody can hold you culpable for that as long as you're following the laws of brachas properly. You don't have to go and wash. But the Rambam says the mitzvah of lighting candles to create the ambiance and the atmosphere of Shabbos is chova. It's obligatory. And contrary to the urban legend that it's only obligatory upon women, the Rambam says, Echad anoshim, ve'echad noshim, both are obligated in this mitzvah that there should be light burning in the home on Friday night. Aye, so why did the woman tend to do this? The answer is because woman, the home is the mainstay, is the domain of the woman. It's her job to set the tone for the home, so that's why she's going to be the one who lights the candles. But if the woman is not available to light the candles, certainly the husband has to light the candles. The Rambam has a very interesting opinion. He says, first you recite the bracha, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav etzivanu, God who has commanded us, lahadlik ne'er shel Shabbat, like you make a bracha for anything which is rabbinic. This is rabbinic, it's not biblical. And then you light the Shabbat candles. However, many others disagree with the Rambam, and in fact it is the halacha, that once we recite a bracha, you can no longer light a candle, because you're already mekadosh the day of Shabbos. And therefore, first you have to light the candle, but we won't benefit from the light. And this is the reason why women move their hands like this before they actually begin to benefit. They cover their eyes and they make the bracha, and they don't benefit from the light until afterwards. That's in order to try to create a situation where the bracha is ever la'asuyosa, where the bracha precedes the activity or the action. So we do not hold like the Rambam in this. And even on Yom Tov, when it's permissible because of something called low plug, as the Magen Avraham says, we don't want to make distinctions between, oh, today you lit it this way and tomorrow you lit it that way. People get confused. So we keep it uniform. And uniform means we always light the candles, then we make a bracha. The person lighting the candles will cover their face, and afterwards they will benefit from the light. So all of this is to create the Shabbat ambience. Now it's very, very interesting to note that when the Rambam talks about this mitzvah, he says, even if you don't have food, you don't have food. He said the mitzvah of not just stopping to work, but creating a Shabbos ambiance is so important that the ner comes before the food. Although, the Mefarshim do point out, this is not referring to somebody who doesn't have, should go hungry. It means the condiments. He won't have fish, he won't have salad, he won't have baba ganoush. That's the meaning of Shabbat candles more important. But if you won't have bread, and he won't have enough to stay alive and keep himself satiated, then that certainly comes first. Now, the Rambam says that lighting the candles is bechlal oneg Shabbat, is included in the pleasure, the delight of Shabbos. And since, as it's written in many of the poskim, including the Alter Rebbe say, im ochel belo ner, if one eats without light, you're eating in the dark. So then, ein lo oneg kokach, it's not so much fun. The food doesn't taste so good when you can't see it. Presentation, you have to see what you're doing. And that's why you're obligated to eat the Sudaf Shabbat next to the candles that were lit. However, the Rambam does write later on in the 30th chapter, that tzarech letaken beito, you have to fix your house, you have to make your house look appropriate, mipnei kavod haShabbat, because of the honor of Shabbat Kodesh. And therefore, a person has to have a house that's lit up. He has to be able to get around, shalei kosho be'etzu be'evan, as I say, just says you shouldn't stumble and trip on obstacles. A house becomes an obstacle course. You don't know where you're going because it's dark. So therefore, the nafkamina of this additional reason, as the Alter Rebbe says in Simen Reish Samach Gimel, is that a person should not only have a light burning where the food is kept, but also in other areas of the house, there should also be light burning so people don't slip and trip and injure themselves. I should add to you that in today's day and age, we continue to fulfill the mitzvah in the traditional manner by lighting either candles, some people like to light olive oil, but nonetheless, making sure that there are night lights in the house, that there are lights left on, and that it is possible for a person to navigate the way around the house would be an extension of creating the proper Shabbat ambiance that a person shouldn't have to stumble in the dark. Now, as mentioned, the Sefer HaMitzvahs for today, for the 38th day of Rambam, is Kuf Nun Dalad, the mitzvah of the positive mitzvah of seizing work. But I thought I would season that mitzvah with a little bit of Shabbos ambiance, which is part of what some of the Rishonim held was also biblical, although Rambam holds it, this is rabbinic, the idea of kavod va'oneg, the honor of Shabbat and the pleasure of Shabbat that comes along with the cessation of work that the Torah mandates.